Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
At the end of the day, when your kids are coming home from school, if, you know, they've got elementary or teenagers or whoever it is, how are they going to land at home? And so giving them an opportunity to decompress, giving them a place where in our house that we speak encouragement, we speak love.
Donut?
No, thanks. Do you have any fruit?
It has purple stuff inside. Purple is a fruit.
And it really is a safe place to land. And it's important for the parents as well.
It's so good to be home.
Words of wisdom there from author and speaker Kathy Lipp, and she's got some practical advice for us today here on the Homeward broadcast, and we're glad that you've tuned in to find out some of these 21 ways to connect with your kids. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Remember, you can become a fan of APU on Facebook, watch videos, learn about upcoming events, read up on current students' experiences and more. Facebook.com/Azusa Pacific is where you'll find us on the Facebook site. Today on the program, I'm going to hear a conversation I had with popular author and speaker Kathy Lipp. We recorded on location in Nashville at the on the convention floor at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention earlier this year. Let's get into it right now. Part one of 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. Here's Kathy Lipp here on Homeward. Today on the program, Kathy Lipp is with us, and it's so good to have you here. I mean, we're in Nashville. You're based in Northern California, and I'm in Southern California, so we had to fly to Nashville to do this, right?
Of course. You know, it makes perfect sense.
We're here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Kathy is a prolific author. She's a speaker par excellence, and a lot of enthusiasm, which is great.
Yes.
It makes it probably easier for you to tell parents tough things about what they need to do with their kids or wives with their husbands because you're so excited about it.
Well, and also, you know, you have to have a good sense of humor about this stuff because every tragedy turns into comedy with some time.
Right, it certainly does. 21 ways to connect with your kids. These are principles that also work with grandkids, too.
Absolutely.
Because more and more grandparents are getting involved in that process.
God bless them.
Yeah.
They, you know, and our kids need it. Absolutely. So this isn't stuff that will just work for mom and dad. It'll work for grandma, grandpa. Aunts and uncles have picked up the book and given us great
That's true,
feedback.
Too. There's an aunt in our world who never had kids.
Yeah.
And yet she looks at each of her nieces and nephews and says, that's a parenting opportunity.
Oh, and you know, the thing is, if you're able to have the rest of your team, those aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, it just makes your children's lives so much richer.
Yeah, definitely does. 21 ways, and we should start before we even start walking through these. I'm not going to quiz you on all 21 because that wouldn't be fair, unless you want to look at the book.
Okay.
But for those who are listening, these are suggestions, number one. You've broken them into kind of weekly overview types of themes and things and break them down. And again, it's not like if you do all 21 of these, then you're going to have the perfect relationship with your kids.
Oh, no. No, not at all. These are suggestions. These are ideas. These are ways that me, my friends, people I've interviewed and surveyed have found really great connections with their kids. It's a daily act to really build that relationship. And we also give you, you know, ideas for, you know, some of the tougher situations as well, but we know that this isn't the parenting guide, but what it is when you're running out of ideas, when you want to just be inspired or have a little boost with your relationship with your entire family, these are some great, creative, inexpensive ideas that you can do that to really dig in with your kids.
I like $15 family fun
night. Oh, yes.
It sounds like, I mean, it's what a gas. You just say, okay, look, we got 15 bucks.
Right.
What are we going to do with it?
What, and, you know, part of the fun of that is having one of the kids plan with you and say, okay, you know, we can't go mini golfing and order in pizza. We can't do that for $15, but we could go mini golfing and pack a picnic and then go to the duck pond or something like that. And so it forces your kids and you to think about all the family's needs and their desires, and then it forces them to be creative. And my kids say, that they're better at having, you know, their fiancé now because they learned how to plan for those family nights. They're better at having those kind of relationships because they know that they can take those ideas into and really practice them. And they've had practice doing this and pleasing a whole group of people.
Well, I think of this as a parent who went through seasons when our kids were younger of, you know, there wasn't a lot of money.
Right.
And so we didn't do things instead because you think, well, if I want to go to a baseball game, for example, where we are, that's really expensive. If you want to go to an amusement park, like I know some families are really into Disneyland, for example.
For example, like ours.
Just nudge, nudge. That costs money.
Right.
And I wonder how many parents would look at a tip like this and say, that's a lot of fun, and I can do $15.
Right. $15 is doable for most families. And even when $15 wouldn't have been a challenge for us financially, still having those parameters on that for our kids and for us forced us to be creative.
Yes.
Forced us to do things. I remember one night we decided to film a movie. And so my son wrote out all the different scripts, and we performed the movie, and we made pizzas at home, and we did it for $15. That's a night that never would have happened had we said, okay, we're all going to a movie tonight.
Yeah, and we'll just buy snacks and sit there and watch it, and we might talk about it afterwards.
Right, I mean, and $100 later. Let's be honest with you're taking a bunch of people to the movies.
Yeah, even if you want to, or if you want to rent something and bring it in. I mean, that it can get kind of pricey, but engagement. And I like the overall, the you've got five different themes that you work into these too.
Right, and so we want to make sure that we are attacking it from all different sides. We want, you know, there are fun things that you can do relationally, and it's okay every once in a while to pop a DVD, and that's okay. But what we really want to do with the $15, it's forcing you to really say, okay, we're going to have a time of connection. You can't do something for $15 and not interact.
Right.
You know, so whether it's cooking together or doing something outside, you know, going on an adventure, something like that, you're really going to have an opportunity to connect with your kids on a different level.
Kathy Lipp is the author of 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. It's a brand new book that's really encouraging parents. And I know that we're talking to parents and grandparents here, but the $15 family fun night is a fun one. I also made a couple of notes here. Make your home a safe place to land. That's another way you can connect with your
kids. Yes, absolutely. And what that's all about is saying, you know, at the end of the day, when your kids are coming home from school, if, you know, they've got elementary or teenagers or whoever it is, where are they, how are they going to land at home? And so giving them an opportunity to decompress, giving them a place where, you know, in our house that we speak encouragement, we speak love, and it really is a safe place to land. And it's important for the parents as well. You know, if you're walking through the door every night and you are stressed out, if your husband is walking through the night, you know, if you're a mom like me, if my husband's walking through and stressed out every night, that's a really tough way to, you know, try to connect as a family. But if I'm saying, okay, at the end of the day, we're going to build in a little break into our lives. We're going to have hot cocoa and popcorn when everybody lands, and that'll tide everybody over till dinner, you know. But we're going to figure out a way to connect, and just not, it can't be the quiz where you say, how was your day? Fine. Do you have homework? No. Liar. You know, you can't have that normal conversation. You have to go a little bit deeper and maybe ask some safe questions. We also have this little thing we call table talk, which is just a bunch of questions that we've come up with as a family. Silly things like, if you were invisible for a day, what would you do? And having everybody go around and answer that question, it gives your kids an opportunity to interact with the parents in a different way than just constantly checking up on each other.
That's good. One of the practical suggestions that you listed, and it's unfortunate that we are here in the 21st century, and this has to be a suggestion in a very well-written book like 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids, is have dinner together.
Well,
5 times a week.
Yeah. Well, or 5 meals.
Five meals.
Yeah. So, you know, dinner is ideal,
but
you know, do what you have to do. Because it's so funny. Some people say, yeah, it's because the parents are so busy. Are you kidding me? It's the kids who are so busy.
Yep.
You know, it's and we have to manage all that. So trying to come up with a time for everybody to sit down. And even if what dinner together means is that you throw a blanket in the back of the car, you drive through KFC and get a bucket of chicken, and you sit there on the soccer field where your son's about to play, and you have dinner together.
That's good.
It counts.
Yeah.
It absolutely counts. And so, you know, making sure that that's a priority, but also saying we're not looking for the Waltons' ideal. We can't. That's not going to work for most families, but we're going to make it work for our family.
I heard Dr. Jim Burns from Homeward one time talking about an interview he did with Amy Grant, and she was talking about she was having a conversation with her sister, and she said, "Oh, wait, I got to get dinner together." And she did dinner, and she comes back on, and she goes, says to her sister, "I feel like such a failure. I just fed my kids hot dogs and potato chips for dinner." And her sister's response was, "Are you all together?" And she said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Some nights it's going to be hot dogs and potato chips."
It's so true. And you know what? Our kids will survive the hot dogs and potato chips. That's excellent. And we're not going to make a regular meal out of that. But just to say, hey, we're together. I love that response. It's absolutely true.
Yeah. Kathy Lipp is the author of 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. It's a great book. It's very, very encouraging. You talk about family service projects and why that's a good way to connect with kids. And I like the idea of families doing this, but not feeling like, oh, well, we have to go serve at the, you know, whatever.
Right.
I mean, where it's almost like where it's a requirement for being in the family, but rather it's something the family can do and want to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the first time we really did this as a family was we had a mom in our congregation who was a friend of mine who was going through some postpartum depression. And she was just in a really tough spot. And I was telling my kids that she just felt overwhelmed and everything. I said, "What would you guys think about going over and just cleaning her house for a little while?" Now, when I ask my kids to clean our house, there's whining, there's gnashing of teeth.
Oh, Mom.
But yeah, exactly. But when they thought about helping out another mom, I mean, they were there with buckets and sponges. They were so excited that they thought that they could help an adult. And so it doesn't look like your traditional service project, but you know what? We were able to be a blessing to that family in a really tough time of their lives. And it gave my kids a glimpse to see what it felt like to serve other people. And I think that's a great way for families to connect together.
And I might add, no passports, no fundraising, no special
shots.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, we look at, you know, we have to go to a third world country and build a church in order to serve somebody. We have service opportunities all around us. Going and serving at a school that your kids are connected with is a great way of doing it. There are a million opportunities around us. We just have to open our eyes and see what our family is passionate about. You know, each family is going to have a heartbeat of its own about what they are going to want to serve in. And so we need to find that heartbeat and really listen to it.
Well, that's powerful insight. And back here in the studio now at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, Roger Marsh here on this special edition of Homeward. And you're listening to a conversation I had at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville not too long ago on the convention floor with Kathy Lipp, who's a very, very popular author and speaker. You've heard her on a number of different ministry radio programs. She's written a great book called 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. And we've got it up on our site today as well. If you go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button, you'll see our radio scheduled there, and on today's program you'll see Kathy's name is hot keyed. All you have to do is click on there, and you can learn more about 21 ways to connect with your kids. Also, Dr. Jim Burns' book, Confident Parenting, and 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. Those are just a couple of other resources that we're recommending today for you to do a better job of connecting with your kids. More of my conversation with Kathy Lipp in just a moment as Homeward continues.
The breathless pace of modern life is leaving too many families feeling burnout, overcommitted, and underconnected. And that's why I can't stress enough the importance of family playtime. I'm Jim Burns of Homeward. I know too many people who literally can't remember the last time they did anything fun as a family. Well, that's a shame. Family playtime gives parents and their kids a chance to really connect, to create new memories and establish family traditions. Plus, it's just fun to have fun. So I want to challenge you right now to stop what you're doing and plan something that will be an absolutely enjoyable experience for you and your family. What your kids will remember and treasure most from their growing up years are the times you spend together as a family, just hanging out and having fun. Well, if you need a little help kickstarting the family fun aspect in your own home, you can download a copy of my free tip sheet called The Family That Plays Together Stays Together. Go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, encouraging parents, building families.
Today on the program, Kathy Lipp is with us, the author of the book, 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. You have four kids.
We do, yes.
Kind of a blended family.
We are a blended family. Yeah. We've got two boys, two girls, and two of each.
Right, yeah. And it took, that came together right after the honeymoon, right?
Oh, you know what? Our whole first part of our marriage was a honeymoon. Let me just say, you know, to be honest with you, I remember getting about 6 months into that, into our marriage and thinking, we've made the biggest mistake of our lives. Yeah. It was so hard, and my stepson especially was making my life absolutely miserable. Mm-hmm. But I kind of figured out his love language after a while, and that was clean laundry and lasagna.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, and good so after about 4.5 years, I remember looking around at our family and thinking, I like everybody who's here.
Yeah.
I'm not stressed out all the time, and kind of snuck up on us.
Uh-huh.
But it really, you know, time is a wonderful thing with step families.
Well, and you just talked about connection.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about 21 ways to connect with your kids, and especially
right.
in a blended family.
Yes.
You know, that's tough to do.
It's really tough to do. And so it was really helpful to me to start, you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is understanding your child's unique personality.
Yes.
And so when I understood that my stepson had a very amiable personality, he didn't want to do a bunch of activities. That wasn't his thing. But he was more like, okay, just sit next to me or in the same room with me on the couch as we watch a movie, mm-hmm. and we can laugh together.
Yeah.
And for him, that was connecting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, that counts. And now I know that. And that helped me so much to build a relationship and not put pressure on him, but just to be there alongside of him and cheer him on.
So he might occasionally throw a pillow at you or something and fun.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And that's connecting for
and
him.
That was connecting for him. And so when I understood that I'm not failing at connecting with Jeremy, we're actually doing more than I ever expected.
Yeah.
It really, it made me realize, okay, I may be a slightly better parent than I thought I was, because
mm-hmm.
for a long time I felt like I was failing. But come to understand, you know, sometimes it just takes a long time, and we have to, in some ways, let them come to us on
yeah.
their own terms and say, okay, I'm ready for a relationship now.
Yeah, that is very encouraging. Investing in their passions.
Mm.
A lot of parents don't invest in our kids' passions. We invest in our passions and try to get our kids to go along with them, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and then we wonder, why aren't you liking
why
this?
Why aren't you enjoying this?
Yeah.
Why don't you want to go to swim practice at 5 o'clock in the morning
five days a week?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so that's another great way of understanding your child's passion. Once I figured out that my son was a writer, which as much as I'm a writer, it's not something I wake up and I enjoy doing. I enjoy communicating with people, but my son loves writing. And so when I was able to say, I can connect with you on this, I can figure this out.
Yes.
So we go to writers' conferences together.
There
and
you
that,
go.
It made him feel like I was invested in what he was passionate
mm-hmm.
about.
Right.
Instead of making him, like you said, come alongside me. And so my daughter was a theater. And so we said, okay, we're going to get you summer classes. Okay, we're going to, you know, and my daughter is on the technical side of theater. And can I just tell you what the ultimate love of a parent is to go and watch a high school production of anything when your kid is not on stage.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to get off and we're done
yeah.
with the event and we're bringing her flowers and we're saying the lighting was wonderful, Kimberly, and it actually meant something to her.
Yeah.
So, but investing in their passion and saying, I'm going to learn a little bit, you know, if your child's into photography, I'm going to learn a little bit about photography so I can have an intelligent conversation
right,
with you.
Right.
Or I'm going to order a magazine subscription because this is something that you're interested in.
And that's hard. I mean, I'll speak from
yes.
personal experience too. My son loves playing video games. He loves theater, cinema,
mm.
anything like that. And sometimes he would say, hey, do you want to play a game?
Mm-hmm.
And I have motion sickness issues, and I can't wander around a 3D video game. I just can't.
You and I are the same person
yeah.
because my son wanted to play one of those where you land a helicopter.
Yeah.
And I honestly was sick to my stomach.
I can't. So then I'm thinking, okay, Lord, please help because
yeah.
this is really important to Jay.
Right.
But I can't physically do it.
Yes.
And we found other, then I like to play baseball and other sports like that, and Jake doesn't
right.
like that. So we found, we like to watch teams together, and we found, you know, ways to kind of
each invade each other's space.
Right.
You know, in a good way.
Because God doesn't make mistakes. He's not going right. to put you with a kid that you can't connect with in any way. But it may take a little bit of digging. It may take a little bit of work to find something that you can really connect on.
Kathy Lipp is the author of 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids, and it's an outstanding book. It's one that's filled with lots of practical tips. And again, we're not saying if you follow all these tips, your marriage will be great and your kids will turn out wonderful and they'll all go to college and whatever they're supposed to do. I was taken with one of the issues you were discussing, family legacy. Mm-hmm. And one quote that really got to me was something that I've heard my kids say and other kids say too. When confronted with a situation that might have caused them to miss something that the family always does, mm-hmm. kids saying, oh no, Sunday night we always have pizza together mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And how that isn't so much a drudgery, but rather you're building legacy with the
right.
kids. Talk about that.
Well, I think it's really important that our kids have something they can hang their hats on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, family legacy is going to look different for absolutely everybody.
Agreed. Yeah.
And we've had to figure it out, especially since I have a travel schedule, my husband has a travel schedule as well. But what we've said is any Sunday night, any of us can be in town, we're going to be together.
Nice.
And so my husband's a big barbecuer. It's nothing fancy. The kids know that they can bring their friends over, but that's what we do as a family. We take a vacation, and my kids are older now, but we still take a vacation together as a family.
That's nice.
Once a year. And it's inconvenient, it's expensive, it is, but if we don't do it, our kids notice. One thing that was really interesting last year, my husband was going through a tough time at work, and his love language is words of encouragement.
Okay.
And so what we did for his birthday is we went around a circle and asked each person to tell us one reason why my husband Roger rocked.
Wow.
And when we got done, the kids all said, now we're doing that for my birthday as well, right?
Nice.
Because they realize, you know, it's so difficult to find a way to speak encouragement into each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that has now become a family legacy for us as well. And we actually pass around a rock the entire time we're doing
Roger,
it.
Because
rocks. Of the rocks.
Yes,
yeah, Amanda rocks. And so she takes that rock
and
home.
And it doesn't cost anything.
It doesn't cost it a thing. It takes being a little brave. Because especially if your kids are teenagers,
uh-huh.
this is going to feel awkward. And you're like, this isn't our family. But you know what? My kids love it. And it was awkward at first for everybody. But now it wouldn't be a birthday celebration without it.
And those are good problems to have as they get older.
Absolutely.
Because you're trying to, I mean, the kids are going to go to college, you're going to get married,
right.
move away, and
right.
they're still going to say, well, what about Sunday night? Or what about The
right.
Rock? And how do we do that? And you're thinking, oh, well, that's going to be a problem. But wait a minute. They still remember that.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we did have one kid who was away when it was their birthday. And so what we did is we made a videotape of everybody saying why Jeremy rocked.
Nice.
And then we sent him the rock with the link to
the
video. And he felt the love.
I think that's so cool. Kathy Lipp, you've given us so much to think about. Take the last 60 seconds of our time, which has flown right
mm-hmm.
by, and give that parent who says right now, okay, you're talking about something that it's just a foreign concept to me.
Right.
I can't get my arms around my kids. They're stiff-arming me.
Yeah.
My spouse and I are just, you know, at odds with each other. We can't get on the same
right.
page. Give that parent some encouragement that there's hope.
Oh, just don't give up. Please, please don't give up. Because you know what? You can build seeds into your family that you will not see for years to come. But you need to plant the seeds. You need to keep trying. And you need to let your kids know, I know you think I'm a geek. I know you think I am. You don't connect with me at all. But you know what? I am pursuing you. And there's going to be a time when your child wants to connect with you. And they're going to know that you're available to them because you have kept showing up. You kept making an effort. And God will reward that. I promise you that.
Kathy Lipp, you're an encouragement. Thanks so much. Again, the book is called 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Roger.
What a great time it was in Nashville earlier this year, having a chance to have a conversation with Kathy Lipp here on the Homeward broadcast, bringing it to you right now. We were just, as you could tell, with the ambiance in the background there. We were at the Opryland Hotel, having a conversation about 21 ways to connect with your kids. By the way, if you want more information on that book, you can Google it. It's available everywhere, wherever Christian books are sold. But you can also go to homeward.com, and we have a link to Kathy's site on our site today when you go to the radio broadcast section. Also, I want to remind you that Dr. Jim Burns' book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, Family incorporates a lot of these same principles as well. And if you'd like to order a copy of Jim's book directly from our online resource center, you can do so. Go to homeward.com. You can call us at 800-397-9725. Remember, when you order any of Jim Burns' books directly from our Homeward online resource center, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We are a completely tax-deductible, listener-supported broadcast outreach. We truly appreciate your financial support. So again, go to homeward.com or call 800-397-9725.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.